News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, breaking news right now, just at this moment, literally, while the words are coming out of my mouth, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, which is Biden's Supreme Court nominee, is just beginning her opening remarks at her confirmation hearing. So that's big news. You know what it's like to go through a confirmation hearing for a Supreme Court justice. Oh, wait a minute. You know what it's like for a Republican to have to go through it. I suspect this is going to be an orderly and well-thought-out process, that there's going to be hard questions asked of her, but I don't expect anybody's going to try and destroy her life like Democrats have tried to do with people like Amy Coney Barrett and Justice Brett Kavanaugh, Justice Neil Gorsuch. I mean, it's been unbelievable to watch. And then the hypocrisy of it is Democrats calling for this to please be a professional process. The most unprofessional thing I have ever seen have been the character assassinations or the attempts thereof by Democrats on Republican nominees. Anyway, nonetheless, that process is beginning right now. We'll talk about that probably tomorrow. We expect to have Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty on the show tomorrow. May see if I can go ahead and send him a text before the day's over and ask him to be prepared to maybe comment on day one of the confirmation hearings for Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. By the way, who Joe Biden is very excited about, because not because she's a great jurist. He's very excited because she could be the first black woman on the Supreme Court. That was his number one criteria, which means, by the way, that he narrowed the field. And I don't mind, but I could care less whether she's got purple hair. It doesn't matter to me. The reality is, what I want is the best jurist on there who will be a strict constructionist of the U.S. Constitution, who will put on the blindfold when it comes to discerning the rights and the wrongs, the ins and the outs, the actual jurisprudence should be acted upon by someone who is neutral in their stance only as it comes to the law. That's what matters. Instead, what President Biden did was he threw all of that aside and he said, I'm going to find a good jurist that matches my criteria as long as she's a black female. And I hesitate to think what it's going to be like the very first time we get some kind of an EEOC or affirmative action complaint that makes its way to the Supreme Court. Will she step aside, knowing that she was chosen under those criteria? I don't know. In fact, I'll go ahead and say right now, I doubt it, because it's different. It's not the same. I mean, surely you understand. It's not the same, Phil. We had to do this. We had to have a demographic. We had to have a certain demographic. It had to be a demographic. It's different, I guess. Now, if we had done that, if Republicans have done that, look back at the Clarence Thomas hearings, which, by the way, were presided over by then Senator Joe Biden. It was a debacle. It was a complete debacle. It was an attempt to assassinate an individual unfairly, unjustly, and it put a stain forever on the confirmation processes. It probably set the standard, if you will, for what conservative appointees now have to go through at the hands of the liberal left. They will do whatever it takes to destroy the person. They don't care as long as they get their way. Well, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson is fairly assured that she's not going to have to go through that, because she was appointed or nominated by a Democrat. So it doesn't matter to me whether she had been Martian. If she was appointed by a Democrat, it's going to be an orderly hearing. She's very likely to be confirmed, although I suspect that there will be some hard questions, and there should be. There should be. Anybody who basically puts themselves out there and accepts the opportunity for a nomination to the highest court in the land should expect to be grilled, and to grill effectively, and to be able to stand for their previous years serving on whatever bench they had been on before. It's important that they be able to answer for their writings and their rulings, for the intermediate orders they might have entered, for the fact they might have been reversed on something or entered an order on something that seemed to fly against case precedent. What did they do in the past? That's all fair game. But the whole concept of destroying someone's life over things that were completely unsubstantiated, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson is not likely to have to go through that. I would be shocked if she got more than just hard questions. All right, folks, we're going to come back in a minute. We're going to have the Cyber Minute, round 8 of the Cyber Minute, followed by the Thought Police are coming. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time, I like to say. Hey, you remember one of our sponsors has been Bellwether Technology, episode 8 of the Cyber Minute. Copper, you good to go on that? Copper. There you go. We started music again. Grab the mic. Talk to me. What's happening there?
I was sorry. I hit the wrong button. I was trying to hit the Google Doc, and my brain just did the wrong thing.
No worries. Okay. I just didn't know if I had suddenly gone off the air. I wasn't sure. But okay. Hey, do this, though, for me. Let's go ahead and play the Cyber Minute.
The Cyber Minute.
Welcome to the Cyber Minute, brought to you by Bellwether Technology, www.bellwethertechnology.com. Today's Cyber Minute, what is phishing? And that's spelled P-H-I-S-H, not F-I-S-H. In the tech world, phishing is when someone is contacted via email, text, or phone by someone posing as a legitimate business to trick them into revealing sensitive information, such as banking, credit cards, passwords. Phishing in general is a generic message, one that isn't addressed to a specific person. They tend to be sent out in a mass blast like a big net to catch whoever they can. Spear phishing is more specific. It targets specific groups or types of individuals, such as system administrators, HR personnel, and others. Whale phishing, or whaling, is even more highly targeted and goes after the big game, executives, C-level personnel, such as CEOs, and the emails will be tailored to the business and will likely refer to pending legal action or audit requirements. All of these types of phishing attacks generally present the recipient with a URL or a downloadable document that the user must click to open for further information. So how do you avoid becoming a victim of a phishing type attack? First, never click a link that you can't verify. You can use a free online service like safeweb.norton.com to check if a URL link is safe. Second, never download a document or image from an email unless you can identify or verify the sender. Third, be informed. Check out phishing.org, that's phishing.org, to learn more about phishing, how to recognize it, and how to protect yourself from it. An informed user is a hacker's worst enemy. The Cyber Minute aims to take geek speak in the cyber world and translate them into topics that non-technical people can enjoy and learn from. Check us out and download each episode from our website at www.thecyberminute.org. This has been your Cyber Minute. I'm your host, Chris Williams. I'll see you next time.
Ah, cool. And so, Copper, have you ever opened the thing you shouldn't have opened on your emails before?
Mostly tests from my company trying to see if I would fail or really? Pass a test.
Wow. So they send you stuff and just sort of check you to see whether you're going to...
Yeah.
Oh, that's just downright sneaky, by the way.
Yep.
But nonetheless, I guess it serves a purpose. So, yeah, we haven't had big problems like at the law firm where I work and all that kind of stuff. We haven't had big problems, but we get them all the time. I got one yesterday telling me that, and it appeared to be phishing, but it was, telling me that there was an attempt to log into my Facebook. Click here if this was you. I'm not clicking there. I'm not. No. But yeah. All right. Phishing. Bellwether Technologies. Cyber Minute. Thank you very much. All right. Listen, I'm moving to number one of the Triple Dipper. This is big doings, and this is kind of scary doings if you get down to it. So a while back on the show, I talked about something called China's social credit system. Now, I briefly talked about this in my opening monologue, my Right Side Way monologue. But I'm titling this whole thing, The Thought Police Are Coming. I might should have titled it, The Thought Police Are Here. But nonetheless, let's stick with the original title, The Thought Police Are Coming. China's social credit system. Let me back up a minute and give you the scoop on that. In case you haven't heard, and then I'll bring you into real time here in the United States. So first of all, China's social credit system, it basically ranks its citizens and it punishes them with things like, you know, throttling their internet speeds and putting them on bans so they can't fly anywhere if the Communist Party deems them to be untrustworthy, all right? Here's one particular story off of businessinsider.com. This is dated, Christmas Eve, just this past Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2021. So this is what they call a moral ranking system. Basically, they decide what's right and wrong, and then they rank you. And your ranking is your social credit score. Like you would almost like you would have a your credit score for being able to qualify for a loan. A social credit score then becomes factored into those kind of decision makings too. So the social credit system in China, well, they first came out with it like around 2014. All right, and it's an important component of the socialist market economy up there. And they try to reinforce things that are in what they call keeping trust is glorious and breaking trust is disgraceful. That's one of their governing documents for social credit scores. How does that sound? It sounds like total coming out of China communist rhetoric. All right. The rankings are decided by China's economics planning team, the National Development and Reform Commission, whatever that is, the People's Bank of China, and the Chinese court system. This is a report of a story that came out of the South China Morning Post. And the system can be used for individual people. It can also be used for companies and government organizations. And they do things like they study your shopping habits. They look at your private credit scores. They determine whether or not you spent too much time, on video games. Believe it or not, if they track you on video games, which they can, if you're doing one of those where you're linked with other individuals via the internet, and they determine you spend too much time on video games or you buy too many video games because they can track your purchases in China, or you post what they consider to be fake news online on social media, or perhaps you get caught smoking. I mean, literally, one of the standards is smoking in a non-smoking zone. It's unreal. Wasting money on frivolous purchases. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is all legit. This is the things that they factor in. How much of that sounded like the actual responsibility of government? To decide what's a frivolous purchase? To decide what you spend your spare time on? I mean, I'm not a gamer, but I don't care if somebody is. I mean, if somebody wants to sit and play video games for hours on end, that's not the government's call, all right? Now, all that to say, it comes together in a social credit score. And when you've got a social credit score, the punishments for this become things like travel bans. They'll literally slow the internet to your house so you have less access. They restrict your travel. They will literally do things like barring you from certain hotels. They'll bar you from being able to get certain train tickets. Like it'll make it hard for you if you're a commuter using trains. You no longer can get the business class ticket. It goes on and on. They've even had cases where social credit scores resulted in your pets being taken away, especially if there were pet infractions like walking your dog without a leash. These are all happening right now in China, and these are all being reported, like on the BBC and in other major news outlets. All right, so people with good scores, though, they can pick up speed and go to places like Europe with quick approval. They can get hotels without having to pay a cash deposit. All these things happen it's like some kind of dystopian governance. All right, that's China's system of social credit scoring. And it's not, again, this is not speculation. This is not rumor mongering or did you hear? I think it's true. No, it's true. I mean, it's widely reported. China acknowledges this. All right, I'm about to get into what's happening in the U.S., but I see I got a caller on line 5, so let me honor that first. Line 5, Rick from Madison. Hey, Rick, Phil Williams on Right Side. How are you today?
Pretty good, Phil. I'm glad somebody's finally talking about ESG.
Yeah.
Have you talked to anybody in the legislature to see if they are interested, if they are putting anything into Alabama law about it?
Not at this point. I have not spoken to them personally. Now, I did see a report just this morning when I was sourcing the show. Heartland Institute says that there is discussion of a bill for next year. In other words, they're already making contacts and developing it. I've not personally talked to anybody, Rick.
Well, I think it'd be something to be brought up to them for this session. It may be too late, but somebody needs to be looking at whether ESG scores are going to be allowed in Alabama.
Well, I agree. And right now, there are several states like Idaho had a bill that would ban the use of ESG scores for anything within Idaho, but I think actually the bill actually went down in flames, even though the story I've got is only a few days old.
I understand about the Idaho bill, it was watered down greatly.
Is that right? Wow. Well, that figures. And I guarantee you it was watered down because the people that want ESG scores are the ones that have the heavyweight ability to hire lobbyists and go in there and try to work the issues. Rick.
Exactly.
I'm
in the process of changing my business account from one of the regional banks to a local bank simply because of the big touting of ESG.
Well, that's a great point. And yet you're right that the massive banks, and I'm going to get into this here in a minute, the massive banks will get out there and they'll examine your policies. And since they're an ESG bank, they score higher for their own ESG score if they don't give you a loan because you're not considered an ESG friendly or compliant recipient of a loan. It's ridiculous.
And I say I'm proud thereof.
There you go.
Proud
hey, Rick,
to be
thanks.
A high ESG score. Thank you.
Thanks, man. Thanks, Rick. Appreciate you being in the audience. And he's right. And that's and one of the things that I've got in the documents that I resourced the show for today is that people moving to localized community banks, which they're everywhere, or credit unions, those entities are less susceptible to the pressures of ESG rankings. So let me do this. Before we go to the break, let me just read you a quote. So ESG rankings, by the way, I talked about China's social scoring, all right? Social scoring in China is translating now into what's being referred to as the Great Reset. The Great Reset is an attempt to take industry, to take corporate, businesses and transform them into something that doesn't worry so much about making a profit or taking care of their shareholders, which they're supposed to. It changes them into a stakeholder doctrine, meaning there are stakeholders in the world that don't even have an investment in your business, but we have to take care of them all. We have to have global commonality. We have to have intersectionality. We have to have the ability to live amongst each other. Well, Klaus Schwab is the founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum. I'm looking at a document here from the Heartland Institute. By the way, these are real good sources. I've got stuff from Heritage. I've got stuff from The Hill. I've got stuff from Heartland. These are real. Quoted here in the Heartland Institute's paper that I'm referring to first, quote from Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum. He says, quote, "The world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies, from education to social contracts and working conditions. Every country from the United States to China must participate, and every industry from oil and gas to tech must be transformed. In short, we need a great reset of capitalism." The way they plan to do the great reset is through the use of ESG scores, which is the Western world's new equivalent of social scoring that I was talking about that's going on in China. We're going to come back from this break. I'm going to tell you more about that. But you guys should be worried about this. ESG scores are absolutely the opposite of where we should be as a free society. The very idea that what you think or how you act or what you do in your personal time should govern whether or not you get a loan or whether or not you're allowed to do certain business or whether you're allowed to go certain places or whether you get the best tickets to a concert. None of those things should matter in the world of commerce. And businesses are in the business of doing business, and they should get out of the business of being in our lives. More to come. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, we're doing number one of the Triple Dipper right now. I call this the Thought Police Are Coming. There's got to be a means by which they can grab hold of your thoughts and tell you what to think and how to act, right? That's the left's ever-present intent. And they got that pesky little thing that I talked about in my opening monologue called the First Amendment. However, One of the ways they're trying to get around that right now is by a new thing. I say new. It's only a couple of years old, really. Environmental, social, and governance scores, ESG scores. Look them up. Go online. Now, if you want to, go just like pick your favorite major corporation. Let's go ahead and say I did it a while ago. I did Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola ESG score. Bam, you'll find it. Take a look. Walmart. Walmart ESG score. Walmart touts their ESG score on their investors page. I found that. So just go look them up. But ESG scores, what they do, and by the way, there's the kind of weird thing is there's not a set way, which I guess is good. There's not a set way of determining your scores. It's basically a series of, you know, sort of disparate gatherings of different groups that do these ESG scores. And usually, though, they're based on the whims of society. So ESG stands for environmental, picture Green New Deal, social, picture things like social justice, like Black Lives Matter and other things like that, and governance, things like do you support liberal public policies? Okay. Social, environmental, social, and governance, ESG scores. A group of what I would just have to call, you know, economic and political elites, including one of the major founders of this is CEO Larry Fink of BlackRock Investments. Even President Joe Biden, former Vice President Al Gore, a number of others that if you name them, I mean, I've got a list here in this article from Heartland Institute. But this has been going on for a while, and if your company doesn't have a good score, here's the threat. You think, well, why would this have come to this, Phil? Well, how about this? BlackRock is the largest investment firm in the world, I believe. Got amazing power. What if BlackRock decides to divest all of its Coca-Cola stock? What if BlackRock says, in order to better manage for our investors, we've determined that the ESG score for Coca-Cola is not high enough, and therefore we shall divest ourselves of it. Coca-Cola's going to go, wait. We'll give more money to Black Lives Matter. It'll all be good. We'll give more money to, you know, transgender in sports. We'll do whatever you want. And that way they preserve themselves. Or what about if you're a company and you're up and coming and you need a loan for that next level of capital investment, and you go to the bank and the bank looks at you, and because they're one of the giant banks that's like nationwide, they look at you and say, well, in reviewing this, we're not just reviewing credit scores anymore. Now we're reviewing ESG scores also. ESG score, you say? Yes. And we do appear to see on your Facebook page that you support conservative causes, and there was a picture of you wearing a MAGA hat at a rally. We do not see you as being ESG viable. And you could say, but my credit scores are great. I've always paid off my debt. I've got no late payments ever. Yes, but your ESG score is also bad, and we now have to consider that as a part of your overall risk tolerance in your portfolio. What? Yes, that's what they're doing with this now. Well, ESG scores are, since 2019, when the Business Roundtable, 181 of the most powerful corporate executives in the United States got together, they came up with this, and it was quickly picked up in December of that year by the World Economic Forum in Davos. And I'm just telling you, folks, the way to look at this is it's an effort to restructure. Well, they're calling it the Great Reset. I mean, they're not even trying to hide it. You can just look up the Great Reset, and there it is. All right, I've got less than a minute or a minute and a half to go, so I'm going to go ahead and try to take a call real quick before we do that, because I don't want him to have to wait through the break. Well, I'll tell you what, Copper, tell Mike if he wants to call back right after the hour. That would be great, because I hate that he called in right at the end of the clip there or the segment. But we're going to keep this conversation going, so just tell our caller to call back. Folks, there's more on this. There's a lot more on this. I'm going to dig in deep here in a few minutes. Brace yourselves. ESG scores, it's the modern level of thought police. Do you conform? Do you want to stay in business? That's what they're saying. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right, like that dude just said. Yes, indeed, we are. Hey, listen, this topic I'm in right now, number one on the Triple Dipper. I call this the thought police are coming, but they're here. And I want to make sure you understand when I'm doing this, this is not some kind of a hypothetical. This is not one of those kind of conspiracy theory kind of. No, this is legit. I mean, they're not even trying to hide it. It's real. I'll tell you how this came about for me this past weekend. I mean, I had already done the social credit scoring thing of China on this show once before. But this weekend, I was talking to a friend. We had some friends over to the house, and he was telling me he works for a major corporation, and he was telling me that, man, have you heard about ESG scoring? And I said, ESG? And I'm thinking, why didn't I know about this? Did some of my own study, and I thought, my gosh, this is social credit scoring by a different name. Doing my research now, I've got an article here from Heritage Foundation, that literally says the same thing, that we are sleepwalking into a China-style social credit system. That story came out just a couple weeks ago on heritage.org. So this is a big deal. So the international community is jumping on board with this. They're working right now to put into place the fact that they want a great reset of where we are. And right now in the United States, 98% of the country's top financial companies now disclose their ESG scores. I mean, they do. They go out there and they say, we got to make sure we have it. We got to comply. And so, and 82% include the information in their annual reports as of the end of 2020. As one analyst apparently remarked in this Heartland Institute document that I'm reading, as one analyst remarked, quote, investors and regulators are increasingly demanding information on the non-financial performance of all investments. In other words, they don't care about productivity. They don't care about your credit score. They don't care about whether or not you are seeing a return on your investors' dollars. What they care about is, did you support social organizations? Did you support the Green New Deal? Hey, I got a caller just came back on the line. I appreciate that. Line 3, Mike from Huntsville. Mike, how you doing today, man?
I'm good, Joe. We're already seeing that take place right now with
yeah.
the January 6th issue. They've arrested 751 people, whereas the disproportionate treatment of what took place by the BLM riots as well as the Antifa riots where they burned buildings. You have 751 people. People have lost their jobs merely for attending, just being outside of the Capitol. There are people that are charged. And what that is intended to do is have a chilling effect on your First Amendment right, as you're talking about. But it's also if you're a member of the NRA, or if you're a member of any groups. And that's being done by the Department of Just Us because of their Civil Rights Division is Christina Clark. She's a rabid racist against people that are not of color. And she's expressed that many times in her writings, including her paper out of Harvard in 1995. There's a number of issues in which you can get up and lose your basically your social score. And it's not just coming, it's here. It's been going on for a while, but now that's the reason that so many corporations have become so woke, is the absolute fear of retaliation. Well, BlackRock, as you mentioned earlier, was a major investment company in the Wuhan lab, along with Pfizer. So you're talking about a massive global conspiracy in which you mentioned the reset, which is taking place with the monetary system. And it's like what happens with Tucker Carlson right now. Or anybody who comes out and gives a balanced view of what may be taking place in the Ukraine or the motivation behind it. And like Tulsi Gabbard, when she came out and talked about a balance in the situation and why what Putin was worried about was the NATO issue and it was taken off the table. And then we have an immediate invasion of Ukraine. All of a sudden, if you discuss that issue, you're an enemy of the state.
Yeah, Mike, let me jump in there, Mike. Hey, Mike, let me jump in with you. So the reality is, yes, I agree. I mean, I think we're seeing it's a version of blacklisting. It's a version of approving you for the opportunity to go forward in life. And it's also a means by which they control the thoughts and the actions of the citizenry without having to pass a law to do it. And it's actually a backdoor way of suppressing your freedom of speech. Great call, Mike. Appreciate that very much. And stay in the audience, man. We appreciate you. Thanks for calling back in after the break. So, this this entire ESG thing, it's real. It limits your opportunities. It sets up a framework by which government agencies and individuals and families, they basically can jump in on your constitutional protections and do away with them without really legally doing away with them. Well, there was one article that was published by the Global Financial Markets Center at Duke University School of Law, and it rightly questions the whole situation. It said this, quote, "Is it appropriate for company executives who have been neither elected nor empowered to make social decisions to decide that the prices set in the economy are not the appropriate indicators for making corporate decisions? Are corporate executives qualified to evaluate social policies? And more importantly, what gives them the right to evaluate such policies on behalf of their shareholders and other stakeholders, such as their employees?" Well, that's where we are. It's kind of like the situation with the vaccine mandates. They came in and they changed your behavior by forcing you into certain things you may or may not have wanted. PragerU, Copper, you got clip one. You good to go on that clip one there? Just highlight it for me. Thank you so much. All right, so clip one. Some of y'all I know are familiar with PragerU. I mean, I just read you stuff from the Heartland Institute. I read you stuff from the Heritage Foundation. I've got another article that I'll jump into on the from The Hill here in a minute. These are real reporting sources, but PragerU is also a great resource if you're not familiar with it, where you can go to it and you can just watch videos that in 5 minutes' time teach you, you know, foundations of conservatism. And I love PragerU. So full credit to PragerU. What I'm about to play for you is a portion of a clip by Andy Puzder for PragerU talking about ESGs and how it's going to work out. Copper, go ahead and play clip one.
So if ESG endangers profits, offers no clear metric for success, and is a mediocre investment, why is it even a thing? Well, for two main reasons. First, ESG allows people like Larry Fink, CEO of BlackRock, the world's largest investment company, to feel good about themselves. It's a get-out-of-jail-free card for guilty billionaires. They preen in the New York Times, and the rest of us are stuck with the bill. And second, it's about control. ESG enables an enlightened elite to tell everyone else how to run their companies. Submit to ESG or you won't get that loan or that investment, whether or not it's good for your bottom line and your shareholders. That's how companies and whole economies go from woke to broke, including your 401k. So if somebody tries to sell you on environmental, social, and governance investing, hold on tight to your wallet and to your values. ESG is coming for both. I'm Andy Puzder, Senior Fellow at the School of Public Policy at...
There you go. And on behalf of PragerU, full credit there to PragerU. Got a story here off of Heritage. Heritage.org is where you can find it. Dateline March 4th of 2022. So this thing is about roughly 2.5 weeks old. Title of it is Sleepwalking into a China-Style Social Credit System. Talks about the fact that Western governments and tech companies are basically mobilizing, it says, to cut off mainstream citizens from public life and constrain their private lives. Okay, there's a phrase for you ought to take sit up and pay attention to. When Heritage says that, it's legit. All right, it goes on to say we must immediately arrest this momentum towards a social credit system of our own by first having described the whole Chinese social credit system that I talked about earlier. And they go on to say that this is an integration of both public and private coming after your thoughts. It's all aimed at social control. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, they point out, admitted just in July of last year that the White House worked with Facebook to monitor and police speech, and later insisted the other private platforms should be doing the same thing. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said that his organization was working with tech companies to strengthen, quote, the legitimate use of private platforms. They do things like going after what they consider to be, you know, hate speech, or the idea that someone is politically incorrect because they are not against January 6th, or that they had their picture taken at the January 6th event. The Chinese system of blacklist, it ultimately limits your jobs advancements, your real estate purchases, your travel, your ability to get a loan and all that. In the West, what they've chosen to do is hit you in banking, web hosting, email deliveries, things like that. Think back just recently. Remember the Freedom Convoy up in Canada? Remember they raised $10 million through the GoFundMe account and suddenly GoFundMe wouldn't release the funds? Yep. Guess what? Go check out GoFundMe's ESG rating. What they did was they bowed to social pressures, but I guarantee you, as a result, their ESG rating went up. ESG is environmental, social, and governance. It is literally something that, according to the article I've got right here on thehill.com, is happening now. And it all kicked in a big way. And one of the things that really bothers me is when you see things like PayPal, according to the article from The Hill dated August of last year, when PayPal announced a partnership with the left-wing Southern Poverty Law Center, which in my opinion is one of the most liberal, activist, deadliest groups out there. They are evil in the way they handle things, and they're based right here in Montgomery, Alabama. The Southern Poverty Law Center partnered with PayPal to investigate the roles of white supremacists and the propagators of anti-government rhetoric, they say. Well, that's exactly what happens when groups like that get together. And they begin to work on this ESG rating to see if whether your use of Facebook or Twitter or Gmail or Uber or Amazon or PayPal or Venmo or other systems like that, if they can get you in those systems, then they can get you in life in general. So I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't even get through all of this. I will say this. There is a movement right now for potential state action. Our caller earlier talked about the fact that Idaho does have potential state legislation on this. I'm going to be finding out whether or not there's anybody in Montgomery with the brass to go ahead and move towards an ESG investing ban and decide that, you know, someone's subjective view of what you believe and why you believe it should not be the reason why you are or are not considered favorable for a loan or any other action like that. It's going to be dicey. All right, we're about to take a break. When we come back, whew, I mean, I could go on all day about this, but this is your First Amendment. This is your First Amendment being threatened right now. ESG ratings. Look them up. It's real. Go ahead and find your favorite major corporation and see if they tout their ESG rating. I bet you they do. ESG ratings, environmental, social, and governance. It's basically the thought police, and they are coming for that First Amendment. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Coming up next, an update on Ukraine. What now? What next? We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. Hey, before I go on to the next topic, which is going to be on Ukraine, let me just do this. I got a caller that called in during the break, line four. Rick from Morgan County. Hey, Rick, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
Hey, I'm just curious. I'm part of the Convention of States, and I lead up this small group out in Morgan County. And we've heard about this ESG months ago. I sent out emails to, you know, the group in my area, and I've talked with Senator Gudger about this,
right?
And some other leaders within the Convention of States. But I'm like, this is months old. I'm just wondering why we're talking about this so late.
Well, I don't think it's late when it's months old. I mean, months is like a baby time in terms of political public policy. But you talk about it when you know about it. So, I mean, what are you asking me?
Well, it's like you were implying in the last segment, it's kind of a big deal. This is a way to get around the constitutionality of it all.
Yeah.
And I guess my biggest concern is not with you or, you know, or anything like that, but more so just out of frustration of all of this is just, I feel like it's falling on deaf ears with a lot of the community.
I think to some degree it is, Rick, on deaf ears. I think there's also a lot of ears that haven't even heard the first thing about it. I mean, I like to think that, you know, since I prepare for a show every single day, I'm probably more out there in the, you know, in the research mode than the average citizen, I would guess.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to think that I'm fairly well informed. And truthfully, even though I knew about social credit scoring in China, I did not know about ESGs until like the last few days and began doing my own research on it. So if that's the case for me as a former state legislator and as somebody who is, you know, researching his show every single day for the last 9 months, I can just tell you, the vast majority of people in this state don't know anything about it. And I think it's going to take something like what happened in Idaho when Glenn Beck himself traveled up there to meet with the legislature. And it took a name that they were familiar with to come and introduce them to a topic to galvanize them to action because they realized it was real.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But hey, keep talking to Senator Gudger. He's a good dude. And I think they need to keep hearing from their constituents if there are real concerns. And thanks for calling in, Rick. Appreciate it very much. Hey, listen, by the way, just in the couple of minutes we got here, I'm going to be going next to Ukraine. I will tell you this. It's an interesting dynamic. I've got a great, basically an intel report that we're going to go through and also just talk about some new developments in that. Breaking news just a few minutes ago, though, the White House came out and said in regards to Ukraine, the war in Ukraine, that Russia, that the White House claims that it has intel that Russia is preparing, literally preparing, cyber attacks on civilian infrastructure in the United States. And that could be anything from, you know, taking down the electronics that run the court system to water systems to small businesses to big businesses. Think about the things that have to run on, you know, cyber. Well, that's pretty much everything. So anyway, what I'm saying there is, just like the Cyber Minute a while ago talked about phishing and some protections you can take for yourself, make sure that you recognize that there are situations right now that could impact cyber in the United States, and I don't disagree. I mean, I think that the you know, Putin has basically had it. He doesn't know what to do next. He's blustering still. He had his own rally, but the truth be told, his campaign is falling apart in Ukraine, and in the eyes of the world, he's a pariah. So he's got to do something to save face. If he's going to lash out the United States and we could trace it back, that's a bit of a game changer, especially if he does something that truly impacts our social structure. All right, folks, we're going to come back and delve into Ukraine. Ukraine, what now, what next? That's next on the Triple Dipper. There are some updates, some very interesting updates, like another Russian general confirmed kill. That's four. Or how about the fact that the Russian forces are now actually digging in defensive positions around Kyiv? That's big doings. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.